T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two counties talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Talking AFC-NFC championship games and really looking ahead now to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 53, Patriots-Rams coming full circle on this one. It will lead to some speculation. Will Tom Brady retire because of their opponent? So if you beat the Rams, you could walk out. 9 Super Bowls, you win 6 of them. You play your first one against the Rams. You play your last one against the Rams. It's a nice bookend to his career. I don't see it happening. Win or lose, I don't see it happening.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I thought maybe Bill Belichick would step down after he won this and then maybe hand the reins over to McDaniels or someone. But I don't know. I think Bill's going to keep on churning away.
Why wouldn't he? He's still outsmarting everybody.
Yeah.
He came up with the perfect game plan to shut down the Chargers. And he came up with the perfect game plan to shut down the Chiefs and to score on the Chiefs.
How about Bill? How about Tom Brady giving McDaniels props in the post-game interview with Jim Nance? Because he said he went over to McDaniels and asked Josh, do you have any game-winning calls on that play sheet? And he said, yes, I do. And sure enough, he did.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels just did the one interview, and it was with Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how miffed he is about that. That's interesting.
But Tom Brady gave him a big bone right there, throwing that to him, saying, McDaniels came up with the game-winning drive right there.
Well, Brady's never won a Super Bowl without Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
And so he's as much a part of this Brady-Belichick thing as everybody. And if you're another one of these teams, like if you're the Chiefs or if you're the Chargers, how come Bill Belichick for 20 years has been able to outsmart everybody? Why can't you as the Chiefs say, well, we have a bad run defense, and our guys are a little small on the outside, so what the Patriots are probably going to do is run it up our throat and put Gronk out wide and try to free up Edelman in the middle. That's what they're going to try to do. So let's scheme so they don't do that. Did they think that? Was it just talent that won the day with New England?
Although if the Rams win this upcoming Super Bowl, there'll be a new boy wonder in the NFL.
Oh, another narrative to think of. Sean McVay.
Yes.
Taking down Bill Belichick.
Yes, there'll be a new boy wonder.
Oh boy.
It'll be this guy who's already having people come off the tree of his to become head coaches.
Gave Sean McVay coffee once. Can I be a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the McVay tree. He wins this game, it'll be Sean McVay mania coming up all off season. I mean, we'll see enough of this guy in the next couple of weeks, but it'll be worse if he wins the Super Bowl. Sean McVay's leaving?
Sean McVay's coming to the Packers as the assistant offensive line coach. Just kidding. No, the NFL just announced the 5 international games next year, and I break into our standard coverage because there's a lot of speculation that the Packers could get one of these games in London. They will not.
Again, they avoid it.
The Packers will not be playing overseas.
Man, Murph has got some power with the NFL for him to keep avoiding these overseas games.
They're going to try to do the Mexico game again.
All right. They're
going to try to do Kansas City, L.A. again. This time it'll be the Chargers. So the dates aren't scheduled on these, I do not believe. But the Chiefs and Chargers will play in Mexico next season. The Panthers will take on the Buccaneers. Buccaneers will be the home team.
This is all Mexico?
This is London now.
Okay.
One Mexico game, that's Chiefs-Chargers.
Okay.
The U.K. games will be Buccaneers hosting Carolina, Rams hosting Cincinnati, so they could win a Super Bowl and still lose a home game.
Yeah.
Raiders, who have no home, hosting the Bears. Bears going to London.
Okay.
And then the Jaguars hosting the Texans. Wow, a divisional matchup.
I guess I'm surprised they don't ever put a game in Japan anymore. Like the Packers played a preseason game there 20-some-odd years ago. Surprised they don't go over and they. It's always London and Mexico City, but why they don't go anywhere else?
So no Packers in London. You'll about to in the next 2 minutes, if you haven't already. Every Packer beat writer will be retweeting an article, and they'll say no Packers in London. Ready, set, go. 799-1250. Let's get out to TJ in Greenfield talking AFC, NFC, and now the Super Bowl, Rams-Patriots. What's up, Tej?
Morning, boys.
How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I think the Rams might take this Super Bowl. I know Bill Belichick's a beast at game planning, but the Rams' running game has really come together with C.J. Anderson even mulling over some people.
Yeah, Gurley barely played yesterday.
I thought he was done for, C.J. Anderson. All of a sudden, they picked him up, and he's playing like crazy now. So I think that might be a big kind of game changer. But you're right about Gurley. He barely played. And I heard something that I don't know who it was, but they said that it was more rust than actual injuries or anything like that. But we'll see if he gets better over this next couple weeks or, get ready for a Super Bowl. But yeah, I just think the Rams have too much on offense for the Patriots on defense. And if I'm the Chiefs next year, I'm calling up Tony Romo to be my defensive coordinator because that dude is always calling the plays before they happen. So put him up in the box and have him talk to these dudes, and boom, there you go, Tony Romo, D coordinator.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tony Romo, I think, although the further he moves away from the game as far as his age and away from these coordinators, I think he's got an association with all these guys. And he knows, he's got these guys in his back pocket. May not be the case a few years down the road, but right now he's magnificent on the broadcast.
We'll go through the highlight reel of that again in a moment, too. Tony Romo nailing 5, 6, 7 calls back to back to back. Just one more note on that Todd Gurley thing. TJ, thanks for the call. If I was the Rams there, I mean, I would have kept running with Anderson, too. He was giving you more yards and really a better chance to win. Todd Gurley then, after the game, posted on his Instagram. You know how after the game, Giannis just did this with Vince Carter.
Yeah.
And this is a very popular thing that they do in soccer. And I like to see that it's made its way over here. Guys after the game that respect each other or are friends or whatever, they'll trade jerseys. So Giannis has a Vince Carter jersey now. And Vince has a Giannis jersey, and they take a picture, and you trade jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Todd Gurley's picture?
No, I didn't.
Somebody photoshopped it for him, where he's holding an NFL referee jersey, and the referee Bill Vinovich is holding a Todd Gurley jersey, and he tweeted it from his official Instagram.
So they actually traded jerseys?
They didn't actually do it. It was a Photoshop.
Oh, okay.
There's no way in hell that's real.
If that happened, man, the guy would be fired on the spot.
The league would be over.
Yes.
The league would be done.
Yeah.
But they did actually have a Photoshop, which Todd Gurley actually did tweet out, which in and of itself is remarkable that he even did that.
I mean, okay, that blown call, okay, it does come to mind. You question the integrity of the league. I mean, I don't trust any sporting event ever.
So the theory is they're trying to get LA a Super Bowl for the fans out there.
No, my theory is maybe that somebody's got something on the game. I don't trust any of it. I don't trust any officials in any professional or collegiate game. I don't trust the way it's officiated. I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me, put it this way, if that was the case. I'm not saying that happened, but I don't entrust the integrity of the game. You like to think they played on the up and up, but who knows?
We just got to remember what sports is, man. Sports is not a test to find out who's the best competitor. That's the Olympics. If you want to find who's the best at something, that's the Olympics. The NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the like, those are businesses. And businesses thrive on, controversy creates cash. And we're not watching that game last night if it's a blowout.
No.
And we're not watching these games. We're not talking about these games if there's not a ton of things to talk about. I'm not going to go the way of conspiracy. I think you'd find it out too quickly, and there'd be too many people in on it if there was because of cash or even some narrative to get LA a Super Bowl or Brady, whatever. I think there'd be too many people in on the conspiracy. But remember these games. I mean, football is a made-for-TV game, and there's a lot of things that probably should be changed, and they're not because we're sitting here talking about it the next day. So if you want to find the true best in sport, you watch the Olympics. What we sat down and watched 7 hours of yesterday was no different than throwing on a Netflix show for 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching the drama, and the controversy creates cash.
It is. Yeah, maybe they wanted Los Angeles in the Super Bowl. I mean, we don't know. I would think the league probably wanted Los Angeles in.
I mean, they can root for, and the network executives can say, well, yeah, I'd obviously want this team over this team. But for them to actually go as far as rigging it, I don't think it would happen.
Yeah, yeah, but who knows? I don't think so either. But again, I don't trust anything. That's just me on that. I would think the game would have been fixed more along the lines of gambling purposes than wanting Los Angeles into the Super Bowl. But I think fans will automatically look at it and think it's rigged. Not all of them, but some of them do.
Well, if you want to have some more evidence, just point to Tony Romo for seemingly knowing every call before it was going to happen, especially in that fourth quarter. This is fascinating. Tony Romo calling plays that he thinks are going to happen based on how the Patriots are lined up. And then Jim Nantz, being the play-by-play guy, calling the play that just happened. Here's a little compilation of Tony Romo's brilliance yesterday.
They've got to go back to the Brady sneak or something, don't they? Oh, they're killing it. Usually means a motion and a run out wide to the right. Here's the handoff into the end zone. It's Sony Michel. 35.
Would have been ball game.
I got to put Gronkowski out wide. They've got to get him. He's your guy when it's one-on-one. They finally got him. There he is.
On the top of the screen.
If he's doubled, you're going to throw inside right here to Edelman. You just look up there and pick him.
Here they come after Brady. He goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around, makes the catch. He saw what you saw, Tony. With 4 yards away from New England taking back the lead.
They're going to run this ball. Kansas City's got to sell out.
Here's a handoff to Burkhead. Burkhead pulls ahead and scores the touchdown.
Gronk's got a chip. Running back's got to help, so he has time to throw. Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Pocket sealed. Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down catch.
Gronk is out wide. Watch the top of your screen. Watch this safety. If he comes down, there's a good chance he's throwing out there.
It's Gronk for the first down.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back with 10 for the third straight year.
Remarkable from Tony Romo, who, again, has been known for so much playoff failure, Chuck. But if you Google Tony Romo playoffs now, maybe this comes up instead.
Yeah, his commentary on these games. But he's been like this all season long when I've been hearing him with Nantz on the CBS broadcast. Maybe not as good as this, but he's been calling plays and being spot on a lot of different things.
Oh, sure. It's what brought him to the national spotlight when he first started.
Yeah.
But that stage and for the accuracy, I mean, it was like he saw it. It was like he saw the game happen and was telling you it was unbelievable. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Two really fascinating games. Unfortunately, officiating did play a role in both of them, from the phantom roughing the passer called against the Chiefs to the really terrible no call in the Saints game. So we go down memory lane again. The worst call that's ever happened against one of our teams. Hey, okay, real cute Saints fans, cute Chiefs fans. You haven't met us Wisconsin fans, where it's always bad all the time. You guys could chime in, 799-1250. We'll read some of your answers next.
Third down and 10. Breeze from the gun. Takes a snap. Throws to the near side. Hit early. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow. Not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. You can't challenge it. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
Mikel Roby Coleman.
That's the second time Mikel Roby Coleman has gotten away with a play like that.
He is 4 yards before the ball is there.
Saints end up kicking a field goal. So do the Rams. Games go to overtime. And it's a game winner for Greg Zuerlein and the L.A. Rams getting the victory and going to the Super Bowl to take on the New England Patriots. So a bad call is what the Saints fans are stewing over this morning. And we obviously asked the question, what's the worst call in Wisconsin sports history? And are these worse than what happened to the Saints yesterday? What's your worst one?
The worst call?
Worst blown call.
Well, worst. Well, again, I think the 80. This is anything, right?
Worst blown call in Wisconsin sports.
I still say the Bucs losing in Game 7 to Philadelphia, the Eastern Conference semifinals, when in the final minute of the game, they did not reset the 24-second clock on a ball that was clearly an air ball by Caldwell Jones, throwing up a shot by the perimeter and hit the rim. And it didn't hit the rim, but they said it did hit the rim. And it should have been a 24-second violation, but instead they kept playing right along. And they didn't reset the clock. And as a result, there was a foul. And they got to the free throw line, Philadelphia, and helped seal the game right then. But the Bucs got screwed. They got screwed. They got homered in Philadelphia in Game 7. On today's official today under instant replay, they would look back and saw, hey, you know what? They shouldn't have restarted the 24-second clock.
What's the worst blown call in Wisconsin sports history? And does it rival what happened in the Saints yesterday? Because the Saints are not going to the Super Bowl. You saw the video, Sean Payton saying that's a Super Bowl blown call. Said it right to the ref on the sideline, and it did. I mean, it cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. Now, they could play it out. You know, what happens? The Rams have 30 seconds left. I mean, you can't say with certainty. If you want to bring up the Clay Matthews roughing the passer, the stakes weren't as high. But you can say with certainty that was a bad call, and had that not been called, the Packers would have won the game. You can say that with absolute certainty, because we saw how the play played out. You can't say that with absolute certainty in the Saints game, although the odds would have been astronomical for the Saints to win. And if you're a Saints fan that feels like, had that play not happened, we'd be going into the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be one to argue against you, because, yes, most likely you would be. The worst blown call in Wisconsin sports history, 799-1250. At 105.7 FM, the Fan on Twitter.
I feel like every fan base probably feels the calls go against them. I was trying to think, when we put this out on an email last night, if there was any blown call that went their direction. Do you remember anything that actually went to our sports team's favor? Like how it went against...
Dez caught it.
Okay, there you go. I mean, I don't know. I still think it was incomplete, though. I'm just saying, objectively, I think it was incomplete.
I kind of do, too, but I don't know how they'd rule it today.
But I could see where somebody would say that, yeah. But there haven't been too many calls. It's usually calls that go the other way. But like I said, I think every fan base feels like they've had calls go against them.
I mean, for the most part, the Packers have had a tortured little run here. And the Saints have, too. The Saints, they lost in that Minneapolis Miracle last year. They lost the Beastquake game to the 7-9 Seahawks. They lost this game yesterday. Packers have had bad games, mm-hmm. blown calls in some of these overtime games.
Although the Rams had the Brett Favre interception work in their favor back in 2009.
The Saints
had the interception by Favre where they could have lost that game. They should have lost that game if Favre doesn't make the bonehead play.
They showed some highlights of that. Yesterday, too. He took some shots, man. Obviously, those were the Bounty Gate days.
But yeah.
Favre, how he's able to even get up and move.
See, some people could look at this with the Saints of getting screwed. Well, they had Bounty Gate, so maybe karma's getting back at them and Sean Payton.
799-1250, worst blown call in Wisconsin sports history. Let's commiserate with our fellow Saints fans. Dave's in Muskego. What's up, Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to bring up the 2001 NBA playoffs when Scott Williams got suspended for Game 7 that basically lost the Bucks the Eastern Conference Finals.
See, people look at that I don't think Scott Williams, okay, he was the difference, but the Bucs got blown out in that game against Philadelphia. We're not talking a suspension of Ray Allen here or Glenn Robinson. I think people look at that as the Scott Williams suspension as an excuse for why they lost Game 7, Bart.
Did it maybe take the juice out of their sail or the wind out of their sails a little bit? Like, hey, the odds are already stacked against us. You know, if we don't get up early, we're probably screwed.
Possibly, but like going into that series, you're thinking of Cassell having a series or Glenn Robinson, Tim Thomas, or obviously Ray Allen, the big four there. But, you know, Scott Williams getting suspended, yeah, it was a loss. But I didn't look at that as that's the reason why they lost Game 7. But a lot of Bucks fans do.
799-1250-414-799-1250. James, I think James has one that I'm seeing a lot of tweets come in for. What's yours, James?
You got it. Thanks, guys. Or should I say...
Oh, we haven't read the tweets yet. I'm setting the stage for you to have a big-time moment here on the radio.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Or should I say thanks, players?
I was going to say...
2012, Packers against Seattle, fail Mary. I don't know if it's the worst, but it's got to be in the top five. And I even thought of the one, I'm not sure of the year, with the Packers against the 49ers and the drop catch by Jim Rice.
Jerry Rice. Yeah, Rice and fumbled. Rice fumbled.
Yeah.
They didn't call him.
But they didn't have a replay for that game, I don't think.
No.
With Seattle, they did. And I just had one question. What's your thoughts on playing in England for the NFL? Hey, you guys have a great day.
I don't like going overseas because I think it screws the home base here of another game. Baseball, okay, I get it because you have 162 games or 81 home games. But if the Packers had to go over and take one of their home games and move them to New England, okay, England gets the game, but the fan base here, the season ticket holders, get one less game. You have only 8 of these games a year, Bart, at your home stadium.
Yeah, it's something that we can dig into more when we don't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah.
The Packers, it was announced today whether your international games are going to be. Packers are not involved.
Yeah, they picked a bad time to release that. They should have did that in February when there's nothing for us, after the Super Bowl. So we could take more, because there's some more grit to that.
Just a couple other worst blown calls. Some Wisconsin football ones coming up. Jazz Peavy when he caught a touchdown against Northwestern, and it was ruled a no catch.
Yeah.
Why? Do you remember why had that happen? I remember, I picture it in my head. I don't remember why they called it back. Something stupid.
Yeah, I remember the game. I don't remember the exact play, but I remember involving Peavy.
Also against Arizona State when they were in the desert. And they were trying, I think Hornibrook tried to clock it.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough time.
Is that 2012?
Then it wasn't Hornibrook. It was a couple years
ago. No, it wasn't Hornibrook.
It was past 2012.
I thought it was 2012 or 2013.
Could have been around there.
Wasn't that one of Chris's first years? Well, it would have been after that then, I guess. Or was it Anderson coaching that team? It was a non-conference Saturday night loss.
It happened at like 1:15 in the morning.
Yeah, it happened really late at night.
And I feel like I just moved into my house, so I would say 2013,
yeah,
maybe. Whatever, you guys know better than we do.
Jim there brought up the Fail Mary game. That is still on record as the most listened to day, the day after, in the radio station history, on the fans' history. The 12 years we've been here, no, 14 years we've been here, that is still considered the most listened to day, the day after.
Well, that's pretty weak that we haven't matched that since. You guys should tell you more of your friends about us here at the Fan 1250 on the AM. Let's go.
Even more so than the playoff losses. That game against that Monday night game against Seattle.
Well, everybody want to know what the hell happened. And that there was replacement refs, and the refs came back because of that game.
Yeah.
So that one definitely is one. And then a lot of people are chiming in with the Justice Winslow, where it went off his fingers in the championship game. But
and the officials from that game, those replacement guys, still make fun of that game. The official that made the call, or the two officials that made the call.
Oh, isn't it Larry Isley or something?
They still.
He wrote a book.
They do gimmicks on Seattle because they handed Seattle a victory.
Oh, yeah. They're heroes over there.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. You can chime in on this. Plus, we'll update you on some of our polls, including our methods to how to fix the NFL overtime. It's Chuck and Winkler. We will update you on our polls next.
Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
If you were looking for a reason to further hate the Patriots and the culture surrounding all that winning, there you go. Patriots Radio Network.
Is that the way they are out there?
Chuck and Winkler, the fact, wouldn't you be?
Well, I don't know.
Your hockey team's won, your baseball team, which was cursed, they've won three.
That was kind of like in our face.
The Celtics even somehow got one in the last 20 years. And then this Patriots team, Brady's going to his ninth Super Bowl.
And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston.
Yeah. I mean, if you think, I mean, being a Boston fan, as you, all those titles you mentioned, all the good teams, Boston College even won over the weekend in college basketball. The upset number 11, Florida State. Yeah.
I'm sure that's not getting any room today.
Exactly. A buddy of mine actually covered that game. And I said, well, I got a feeling this is going to be a little bigger. This New England game, this Patriots game is going to be a little bigger. But, but they've had a great run, a terrific run. I mean, can you think of a better sports town right now than Boston?
At least in terms of success.
Yeah.
Anything that they want. Imagine the Brewers in the next 20 years, let's say. Mm-hmm. Imagine the Brewers winning three World Series, the Bucks winning a title or two, the Packers winning four or five. It'd be ridiculous.
Well, look how we are right now.
How would you even deal with that?
Well, all right, look how we are with our two sports teams in the city, which have been bad for so many years. The Brewers, best record of the National League, and the Bucks, the best record in the Eastern Conference right now. At least going into the weekend, they were.
But still, we don't have anything to show for any of this.
Well, exactly. That's my
point. We lost in the NLCS.
Yep. No, I know.
So there's a good possibility we have a parade for that team in 35 years.
Well, we'll definitely have some giveaways on Sunday afternoons.
And then the Bucks, the Bucks are awesome, and yeah. I think they're going to go to the finals. But we are acting like they have won a first-round playoff series, which they still haven't.
Sure.
Since 2001.
And I go back to all those 70s and 80s teams when they would have one of the best records in the NBA, and still no NBA titles to show for it.
We're always talking about how good Wisconsin is, but every time they get close to a championship, they blow it. Either sport.
Badgers, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mean the Woodchucks.
No. I know. The Badger basketball team. Look at Badger basketball team, football team. You know, all the for years, the Badger basketball team would make the NCAA tournament, have a high seed, and then bow out in the second or third round. Until they made the Final Four in consecutive years. And then a football team, you know, the Russell Wilson year, last year, losing to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, they fell right on their face.
Or 2 years ago, yeah.
Some of the polls we put out there at 105.7 FM The Fan. This is the pulse of your fan this morning. Which dynasty is more annoying, Patriots or Warriors? 70% say New England is more annoying.
Yeah.
Justin says neither. Why are we painting well-run franchises as annoying? If people are true sports fans, they will admire the talent and the accomplishment of those teams. I hope Brady wins another ring. We will never see anything like this again. Enjoy the greatness. Hashtag TB12.
From Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, let's look at that profile. Yeah. Ah, even worse. He's a Cardinals fan.
Oh, great.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
Another poll. Who do you feel worse for this morning, Saints fans or Chiefs fans? 74% say Saints fans.
You know, at one point, I thought, in the way we feel about the Patriots, I thought the Cubs were going to begin a dominance like that. Once they won it in 2016, I thought, okay, this could become regular. And they didn't even win a division title this year, as we all know.
Well, they could win this year. They could win the next year.
They could. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying I thought Bart after 2016 they would have... You know, they might repeat, and even 2018, No. Couldn't even make it to the, couldn't make it out of the wild card round this past year.
My prediction before the season they won the World Series was the Cubs will win two World Series by after the 2020 season, and I will stick to that. I still think they'll get one again in the next couple of years, a la the Red Sox. And then our other poll was, what should the NFL do with their overtime? The choices were both teams possess the ball no matter what. You play out the full quarter. You make it like college overtime, or don't change it. What do you think is in the lead based on our fans? Teams play out the full quarter. Both teams possess the ball. Make it like college OT, or don't change it.
I would say what I said. Play the entire overtime session, the entire 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's actually leading with 32% of the vote.
I would say second the college rules.
That is tied with both teams possess the ball.
Okay.
At 26%, and about 1 in 10 of you, 1 in 9 of you say don't change it, 16%. I don't know why you wouldn't change it. I think it should be changed. I got this response right away, which I absolutely hate in this argument. I tweeted, the NFL overtime needs to be changed. Both teams should be able to possess the ball. The current way isn't fair. If you have to argue that something's fair, it's not fair. And the comment that I got that I hated was saying they played 60 minutes. Both defenses had a chance in those 60 minutes. But you both tied after 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So the argument that, well, the Chiefs defense had a chance to stop them. Okay, but their offense didn't have a chance to score, so you never tested the Patriots defense. If you, for 60 minutes, can't come up with a winner, why is one drive fair? Why is the coin toss fair? Again, if you have to explain why something's fair, well, it's fair because of this, this, this. Is it fair? Does it? If you lost that way, do you think it's fair? No, the Packers have lost that way many times. Now you've got Aaron Rodgers on the bench in overtime, not getting a chance to win. Now you've got Patrick Mahomes, the league's MVP, the guy they're probably going to market this league around for the next 15 years. In his first playoff overtime, with a chance of the Super Bowl on the line, he doesn't even get a chance in overtime to possess it because of the rules. And they're so archaic. I don't think they're ever going to go college OT with TV windows and fantasy sports and really and over-unders. Mm-hmm. I really don't think they ever will. But I do think you can change it so that both teams possess the football. I don't see what's so wrong with that.
Remember on Friday, you and I were talking about Brady versus Mahomes, and you thought Brady was going to look really, the cold weather was going to make him look really old, and I thought, no, I still think the old guy's going to find a way to win. I thought Mahomes many times yesterday missed on passes. I thought
He missed some passes. He really did.
I thought, nobody's talking about that, but man, some of his throws, it's like, who was he throwing to?
Yeah, he had some guys wide open that he missed.
Did, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made some plays, but he didn't. He looked like the cold affected him as opposed to Tom Brady, who, you wouldn't have told a difference between the, 25-year-old Tom Brady and the 41-year-old Tom Brady.
Right. No, Brady, at first they were just running the ball down the Chiefs' throat, and you thought, all right, well, Brady's not going to, it's going to be another playoff win where he gets credit for not doing anything.
Yeah.
But that touchdown to Gronk, I think it was, in the corner, he had some really, or at least that pass, he had some really, really good throws, and Brady, he had two picks. They were both tipped for whatever that's worth. Or no, the first one wasn't.
He hit his receivers.
The first pick was really bad. It was that play action.
That was terrible.
Where he didn't see the guy.
Yeah.
The Gronk one was called back, and then the Edelman one stood.
I mean, the interception he threw in the end zone. Man, I might not have ever seen Brady make a worse play than that.
Yeah, that was baffling.
I mean, Jesus. Didn't Roethlisberger do that this year? In the end zone, similar play, threw it right to the defender. Thought he did that this year. I'm like, God, Big Ben is beyond making a play like that.
799-1250, let's grab Dan and Racine quick, dialing us up. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. You, Dan?
Well, I'm kind of like you, Bob. And anyway, I lost my you-know-what off of this because I was picking KC. But you know what? It is what it is. And before we dive into the overtime rules, we need to get a whole new set of referees. These are two horribly ref games that were crucial. and getting into the overtime rule, you know what? It's too bad. You're going to have Rodgers on the bench. That's how it goes. You pay guys a lot of money to play defense. Play the damn game. Stop the guy, and if you can't, that's the outcome.
But the defense is out there because of how a coin was flipped. Like, maybe the Patriots have to play the damn game, but their defense never went out there because of what a coin told the teams to do. That seems dumb.
Well, again, why don't they play to the finish? They do it in the NBA. They do it in baseball. They play a full extra period or an extra inning. Why not do the same thing?
Chuck, I'd agree with you. Go 15 minutes, the one who has the most points at the end of the game, clearly. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it is what it is, though, and that's what we got to live with. What do you guys think of the ref calls? That one on New Orleans was horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. It was awful. And that official should never work another one of those type of big games ever again. Miss a call right in front of you. Those are supposed to be the best officials for a championship round, and he misses a call like that? Jeez. It cost a lot of people a lot of money, too. Made a lot of people money.
There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake for these teams and these players that they've got to figure something out. I think if anything, I mean, I'd like to see the overtime change, but if anything, you've got to make some of these pass interference plays reviewable.
Sure.
Or roughing the pass. You've got to make some of that reviewable, and maybe it's going to add some time to the game, but, I mean, what's 10 more minutes, really? And who is complaining about the length of games anyway? And XFL's like, oh, we're going to have our games 2 minutes and 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, that ain't enough. I love sitting there for 8 hours yesterday watching football. Don't make my games shorter.
Yeah,
make it longer.
I don't think they want to make
six quarters.
Well, that's a little much. See, I don't mind them reviewing plays, but I think they want to get those games done by, you know, 3 hours and 15 minutes, because especially during the on a Sunday, because they want to get to the next game right away.
I'm fine watching these games.
That was a long afternoon of football.
It was awesome. And it was awesome.
That game, because, you know, the game started at 2, and when the last one get done, around 9:30 or so?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was a late night. It was like watching the Super Bowl.
Hey, check out my friends over at Hyundai West Dallas in the coming days. Those of you in the market for a new vehicle, if you need some service done, now's a good time to do it, because they'll wash your car along with that, which you may need as well with the snow and the slush that we got over the last few days. Really, the first time I took my car out, Santa Fe Sport, got it in May. Haven't really had a snowfall since then. I took it out. It was great. It did a really good job on all the streets of Milwaukee that I don't think a plow even sniffed. I don't know if the city of Milwaukee didn't know there was going to be a snowstorm or what, but there was, and thank goodness I at least had a good car with good tires, and I got that from Hyundai West Dallas. Highway 100 just off of Arthur, right between Lincoln and National over there. You can find a new vehicle, part of the International Autos family, with the Audis and the BMWs as well. But a Hyundai, they love these vehicles. It's what they drive over there at Hyundai West Dallas, and they wouldn't sell cars that they didn't think were reliable and good for the family. Spacious vehicles if you need that. Good quick vehicles if you need that. Either way, you'll find a nice vehicle at Hyundai West Dallas. And they are going to make sure that it's a vehicle that works for you. It's not come in, sell, leave. Customer service is number one. They have won a handful of awards over the years from the Hyundai dealership, from other dealerships, from you, from people, from customers. When they're stacked up against somebody, there's no questionable calls there. They are the number one in customer service every time. Because if you do go back for service, or if you do go back for an oil change, or if you got another car or whatever, if you have a question, they want to make sure it's the beginning of what's a long and good relationship. Consider them your friends on the inside in the car dealership business. Do mention that you heard about them from the fan. Big time savings when you do. Hyundai's got a lot of great assurances already and deals, but when you tell them you listen to the fan, as they listen to the fan all day, they'll unlock even bigger savings for you. Do mention that Bart sent you. Hyundai West Dallas. Eric Thames popping up in Korea again, not to play baseball, but the sing. We'll have that next. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Cody Grant, our producer. Bucks have the Mavs today. Look for us there. We'll cover what we missed here. And not a lot happening on the Brewers front. But did you see the Eric Thames video over the weekend, Frames? Did that cross your eyes?
I saw the picture of it. I didn't hear the singing part of it.
So, The Masked Singer, do you watch that show?
What would you guess?
I don't know.
Just saw the highlights.
I don't know.
No.
The Masked Singer, a show where people sing in costumes and then they're revealed.
Yes. I think the idea is pretty cool.
It's taken America by storm. A couple of sports people were revealed, too. I still don't want to spoil it. I think everybody knows. Antonio Brown was one of them here.
Okay.
But in Korea, Eric Thames is a big deal, and Eric Thames was revealed on over the weekend. The crowd goes nuts for him, and then listen to how good he is. It's a Korean song he's singing, I believe, or at least Korean lyrics, so he's singing in Korean, but his voice is really good. So now he's revealed, and people are freaking out. This is Thamesy.
That's him. Pretty impressive that he's able to do it in another language.
Really good. And catchy. I kind of just got mesmerized by that. Eric Thames. On the Masked Singer.
Yeah. I think they're going to trade him. I have a feeling they're going to trade him in the offseason.
They got to free up some money.
Or, here's a shocker, I would not be surprised if they went out and felt that they got the max out of Jesus Aguilar this past year.
I wouldn't be surprised about that either.
And dealt him too. But I think Thames, with that salary, they could get a prospect out of that.
All right, recapping our bets. I won the Rams, so I won 50 from each of you, but then I lost the Chiefs, and I put 100 on that one with you guys, so I owe Cody 100.
Yeah.
And I owe Chuck 200. That's a lot. I'm going to pay that down 50. I'm going to pay you 50 bucks today. I'm only going to pay Chuck.
Okay.
Why not me?
100, it's okay if it's sitting there. 200.
200's a lot.
200, I don't like that sitting there, so I'll pay you 50. And it's a belated birthday present for Freems.
That makes sense.
A belated birthday present for money he already owes me.
Yeah. So, did you have a good birthday? What'd you do yesterday?
We went out and watched the games. Watched the games and hung out. Just kind of like birthday weekend. We went out on Saturday night, actually. And
did you let it rip?
No. You know, here, I'll tell you this. I didn't. No, because I don't want to get a DUI. I don't want to even chance it, risk it, or whatever. But I'm driving on Bluemont Road in Brookfield on Saturday at about 1:30 in the morning, and one of those cop cruisers was following me.
Oh!
I was switching lanes. He was switched.
And you were good.
I was good. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to chance it at all.
Did he stop you?
No, but he was eyeing me up. He was eyeing me up, man. If he on Brookfield at about 1:30. He was eyeing me up. I was switching lanes, and I was going over, making sure he was the direction. Because you even get more nervous that you want to stay between the lines when a cop is following you. It's like, man, I hope he thinks I'm driving straight.
Even when I do everything right and a cop is following me, I get so paranoid.
I do, too. I had a few drinks, but I was fine. If I would have blew the thing, I just didn't want to get outside. I didn't want to do anything. It was cold outside. I didn't want to mess with it. I just wanted to get where we were going. But he was following me. I was like, oh, please don't pull me over.
Cody, we got about 80 seconds to tell us what we did not cover today.
We talked hardly no Bucks.
Don't say that out loud. We covered the Bucks, but maybe not enough on a normal day.
Tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah. Tomorrow's a new day.
The Bucks in Dallas tonight. Giannis
versus Luka.
Actually, we talked enough Bucks.
Giannis versus Kostas.
Yeah, we talked enough Bucks. We went a little Marcus Johnson. Retirement jersey earlier in the show today.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, we did not talk enough about a 10-point win over the Magic.
Yeah.
Well, it's Magic.
Still, road victory.
I want to see Giannis versus brother today. They called him up on Friday, so he'll be there today.
That's interesting.
He's on a two-way deal, right?
Yeah, I think so. He played at Dominican.
Yeah.
So he'll be here. It's his first game if he gets in, but I would assume he does play against Giannis.
I mean, Dallas is trying to win the game, so you know they're 20-25. They're not looking at anything about, oh, I'm trying to get Carlisle's not going to try to get Kostas in just to go up against Giannis. He's trying to do what he can to win the game.
If you've never seen Luka play, I mean, watch him.
That guy's awesome.
Amazing.
He is.
For the Mavericks. So that game's at 1, just so everybody's aware.
Yeah.
It's Martin Luther King Day basketball all day. There's a game at 11, I think. The Knicks play at 11.
The Bucks never used to do home games on MLK Day because they feared that nobody would go at the to the Bradley Center because the Bucks they had tough enough time filling the Bradley Center when you know they would have a night game. So they would always play on the road from MLK. This was just only recently they started playing home games that day.
We'll have you covered on The Fan. We'll leave you with Eric Thames. Bill Michaels up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.